Thank you, Mr. Babb. I want to say hello to all of you that are joining us, to all of you in the room also. It's good to see everyone here. We have a little fuller crowd than we did last week. But welcome to those who join us on the webcast, to those over all across the world, and hope you're having a good connection. Today, I'm going to move this over to here. Today, I want to talk about peace. If you read the announcements, you would have seen that as my title today is Peacemakers. But peace, mankind's been looking all over the world for peace. People go on missions. People go on pilgrimages. They go to gurus. They get self-help books. Some people are, their whole job is to broker peace agreements, and they spend decades of their life trying to get peace. They work for it in many different ways, and we have the Nobel Peace Prize as an award. People go to war to keep peace. People use it as a greeting. People also use it as a farewell. Peace is even used to engraved on tombstones, the infamous RIP, rest in peace. But in spite of all man's efforts, in spite of all of these many things that people do, peace has been elusive for mankind. It's been elusive to mankind since, actually, mankind's been around. Since the Garden of Eden, it's been elusive. And yet, while peace is so elusive, this thing that's so hard to find, we are supposed to be making it. We're supposed to be making it in spades. It's supposed to be something we're producing. But it's so hard to find. You and I, we're supposed to be making it. So today I wanted to look at what it means to be a peacemaker and how we can fulfill that aspect of our Christian calling. So let's turn to that scripture that I had in the announcements, Matthew 5, verse 9. And this is really where the title comes from. But you go to turn to Matthew 5, verse 9. This is in the Beatitudes, so there's plenty of other attributes we should be gaining and working in. This one we're going to just focus on. It says in verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Isn't that our goal? Isn't that why we are here? Isn't that why God calls each and every single human being and will call human beings in their time to be a son or daughter of God? That means, by definition, we have to be peacemakers to be part of that family. So let's start here. It's like, what is peace? What is peace? I think there are three components to peace. And I broke these down into these three. Peace of mind, where you're not worrying about things. You're not anxious about anything. Inside of your mind, you're at peace. So within oneself, that's kind of localized within. Number two, peace in body. That's nonviolence. Someone's not coming after you, attacking you. And so that has to do with beyond oneself, interactions with others in that relationship. And then there's peace in soul, or peace within your being. And that's a greater one. That is actually a peace that we have with our Creator God and how we interact with Him. And we're at peace with God. So within those three, let's keep that in mind as we go through the rest of this message. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And this is going into still further what peace is. 13, verse 20. And it says, "Now the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Lord, or Jesus our Lord." That talks about God, the God of peace. That's an attribute and distinct part of who God is. When you look in the Strong's number, it's 1515, for those of you who want to look it up. But it describes it as one, peace, quietness, rest. How amazing is it to have a rest, a quiet area, a place that is still? Another way to visualize this is if you think about a quiet lake or portion of water where it's smooth as glass, in contrast to where you have massive waves rushing and pouring over, and you're trying to stay above water. If you have that smooth, still, placid piece of glass, that water, that is peace. That is the type of peace that we have from God. Another word, the Pacific is another word for peace. It's supposed to be a very peaceful ocean. Plenty of places you can think of beaches along the Pacific that would be very peaceful to sit upon. Let's turn another aspect of that is Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. That's in Isaiah 9, verse 6. So we have the God of Peace and we have the Prince of Peace, both of which it's integral to their character. It is who they are and what they are teaching us to be. So there, that is what peace is. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking to make. So where is peace? It's not at the end of these journeys. It's not at the end of some book. It's not at the end of all of these places people search and all of these peace discussions. But where is it? The answer is oftentimes right here. It's in God's Word. So let's look within Scripture to look for where peace is. Turn to John 14. John 14, chapter 14, starting in 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. So John 14, verse 26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard, and I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. But if you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." That whole section is talking about Jesus Christ preparing his disciples, preparing those who might hear of his way after the fact. He's giving them a tool. He's giving them the ability to have peace on this earth. That peace, we can see also here that it is from God, is given, it belongs to God. And he's giving it to his people. And only through that Spirit of God do we find true peace. You can look through history and see numerous attempts and all sorts of failures of mankind in our own ways have tried to create peace. But absent God's way, absent God's Holy Spirit, true peace is not possible. Let's turn to James 3. This is a description of God's Holy Spirit, at least that power that comes from God. So James 3, starting in verse 17. James 3, 17. And this is that contrasting between the two spirits. If you go before, earlier within this part of the chapter, it talks about this contrary spirit to God, this contrary wisdom to what God is. And in James 3, we start in verse 17. James 3. Oh. This is interesting. I actually turned to James 1 here, but I just looked down. It says, "For everything given is a perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights." And it's interesting that he gives us the Holy Spirit. It's a perfect gift for us. But I'll keep turning to James 3. It's interesting how that happens sometimes. It says, "But for the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed of this fruit is righteousness, and it's sown in peace for those who make peace. That has a whole slew of stuff. I could probably spend the rest of the message here, but I'm going to go past because I think there's another area where we want to delve into further. But look at this area where it says that righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And so that talks about if we're making peace, then we're also living in the way that we're actually producing righteousness. We're putting on those aspects where the youth are learning about the armor of God. They're learning about those areas where you're putting on those parts that we need to be doing daily. It's also something that, like I mentioned earlier, it's totally contrary to if human thinking. It's not how we're built as humans to be. And that's why our heart needs to come out of us as a human and get that new heart that God's building within us to have that character that he has. The spirit of man, like I said before, is incapable of peace. Peace is through God's spirit, and only in and through God do we find peace. We know that God's government, at least in Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, again, it says, the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So if Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace and God is the God of peace, and we are supposed to be sons and daughters of God who are peacemakers, how are we going to fill this entire world with peace? Because it's not just their work. We're brought in. We're conscripted in one sense. We're part of this work. How does that peace grow? If we're baptized and we've received the laying on of hands, we have the gift of God's Spirit within us. We have God's power, and as I mentioned before, the ability to produce peace. And if we're not baptized, you have a choice. Do you want to be an instrument of peace or one of conflict? There's only two options. So choose the way of peace. Be a peacemaker, because then you'll be a son or daughter of God. So through God's Spirit, we're able to produce peace. So now what? How do I act as a peacemaker? Jesus Christ was and is a peacemaker before we even were thought about. He was built that foundation. And so if you turn to 1 Peter 2:22, it describes that example of how we are to be like him. So let's turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 22. This is a good chunk of where it talks about Christ as our example. And like with everything, we should be looking to Christ as the example, as a template that we're trying to emulate and come to the full likeness of him. So 1 Peter 2, let's start in 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. We know the account, or at least if you don't know the account of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, review it, go through that, and when you look at that, and if you're beaten and you look like raw hamburger, and you're not reviling the people around you, and you're actually showing immense and incredible love to them, what an example of peacemaking is that? That is unfathomable, and yet we are called to that same purpose. So, to break into the second portion, five ways we can make peace. I've listed these kind of out of two scriptures. So the first one we'll turn it to is Psalm 34, 14. Psalm 34, verse 14. That's Psalm 34, 14. There's plenty of psalms and scriptures about peace, but I think this one, it always comes to my mind when I hear that example. And so it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There's the hymn. We say, turn thou from evil, do what is good. Seek peace, pursue it earnestly. That means you're turning, repenting, and running towards peace. I don't do that every day, but I should. And it's something where if I'm running to peace, if I'm turning from evil and doing good, that brings me to point one, which is that we are working to reconcile with God. And so that means we're making peace through reconciliation. Jesus Christ came as that ultimate example and sacrifice because he was working to make peace. He wanted to reconcile all of mankind to him and the Father. So that was peace between us and God. The second portion to this point one is peace between us and others. In Ezekiel 18, verse 30 to 32, it says, go to God and confess your sins, repent and turn from your transgressions. There are plenty of other examples. There's another example in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6. And that's where we are looking to turn and return to God. In Matthew 5, 24 to 25, that's where it has the examples of us going to our brother whenever we have an offense between us and them and we're making an offering to God, to go to our brother and make it right. We should be endeavoring to make it right between ourselves and God and ourselves and others. Making peace requires reconciliation. For the 4 points, we're turning to Philippians 4. So Philippians 4, verse 4. And you can put a bookmark here. We'll be here in a little bit. But I want to read through this section of Philippians 4, verse 4 through 8. This is also another hymn. I often find when I go through Scripture, the hymns play in my head, but it does help me remember them. So Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And we'll go to verse 9 as well. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So this is the chunk where I think that we have four other examples. The first one being, rejoice in the Lord. Remember, these are how we can make peace. By rejoicing in the Lord, we can make peace. In Philippians, That's in the first verse, Philippians 4, 4. And we just went through the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a portion of time where we are commanded to rejoice. It's also a portion of time that's looking forward to that ultimate fulfillment of a peace for all of mankind. And so if we keep our mind in the end, in the sense of that ultimate goal for all of mankind to become a son or daughter of God, that can make peace. And that's contagious. We talk about it as a feast fever, but it's really about our calling. Do we have where we're going around and we are excited about what God is working out on this earth? Are we excited about that peace that he's going to be bringing about in our lives and we can share with the rest of the world? It shouldn't be something where we're commanded and we grudgingly do it. It's something where it naturally comes to us, and it's something we're actually happy to do. And the second portion of that would, when we rejoice, when we're thinking about those positive and good things about the feast and that end time, it's a lot easier to rejoice and share that. So that's rejoice in the Lord is one way we can make peace. And then it goes on to say, show gentleness to all. So show gentleness is a way we can make peace. We can be peacemakers to those around us. This one encompasses numerous scriptures. I don't have time to go through all of them. But in Romans 12, 18 to 21, it says, and so as much as it depends on you, dwell peaceably with one another. We are to be peacemakers by definition. That means everyone around us should not be in conflict with us because we're making peace with them. We shouldn't be seeking conflict in anything we do that we do or partake in. And then in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4, he instructs them to pray that they might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. A portion in there is also about you're praying that the king doesn't essentially make you do things contrary to God's way, that you be able to live in peace. But that's showing a gentleness to those around us. So we have to look and think about what our words and deeds are doing. Do they portray a way of peace, a spirit of peace that's working in us? Do our chats, our vlogs, our blogs, our tweets, whatever way you're communicating, do they create peace? Does that help peace move forward? And if I stop and think about each one of those things, I should, over time, with God's help and God's Spirit in me, be able to do better at creating peace with those around me in my immediate vicinity, with those in the greater social network, and those around the world. This connects directly with what it says in Matthew 5:16, where people might see your good works and glorify God. Is what you're doing or what you're saying portraying that gentleness that comes from God through His Holy Spirit? That same gentleness should be evident, and it's hard work. That's why we need God's Spirit to do it. It's not something we try on our own. And it's something we have to work and help and edify each other to be able to do so. And we do that gently because that's how we create peace. If you want to look into some of those other areas about gentleness, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25, Paul is instructing Timothy to correct those around you as a father, a gentle correction, not one where you're coming down and you're wrong, but gentleness, and that way you can start to spread peace. So the fourth one. Remove anxiousness. This is also within this list in Philippians 4. So removing anxiousness. One way I think about this is if we just quote unquote, if we grow in faith. Yeah, just grow in faith. Just do that. Obviously, we need God's help to do that. Obviously, we need God's power within us to be able to continue to grow in faith. Sometimes it's hard. Actually, most of the times it's hard to grow in faith, because it requires us to fully rely on God. So by growing in faith, that helps us to not be anxious. That removes and shrinks that area for where we can be anxious, because we know faith. We know that God will take care of it. We know that God has our best interests in mind, and He knows He's bringing about ultimate peace. In Proverbs 12, verse 25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him. Are we looking around us to help others not be anxious, to give them peace? This again goes back to that gentleness. If we start to practice that and work on that and try and pursue that, then we can produce peace in others beyond ourselves. So Romans 5, let's turn to Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Romans 5, it connects faith to peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, you have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our induction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Paul's just gone from baptism to glorification in two sentences. He does it all the time, but it's something where it's looking at how God's Spirit in us moves us to the point where we can be glorified. We can be the peacemakers that God is building us to be. So to recount, that's point four, removing anxiousness, and by doing so, growing in faith. And that is something we're wanting to look and spread it between us and around us and beyond us. The fifth point, pray for everything in Thanksgiving. We're coming up on a Thanksgiving holiday in the United States, but it's something we know that we should be practicing daily, multiple times a day, all the time. It says, be thankful. So being thankful for all the blessings that God has given us helps us be content, and contentment breeds peace. If you still always have this chip on your shoulder of like, I never got this thing that I wanted, or I really deserve that other, you know, X, Y, and Z, that's not peaceful. You're not at peace within your mind, and you're not at peace with God. So what do we pray for? We know from the model prayer that we pray essentially for peace. It asks for protection from the wiles of Satan. That is peace when you're not being attacked by the devil. God's safety gives us peace. We pray for the coming of his kingdom. What is that? Peace for us and all mankind. All the world. Peace for everyone. And when everyone is part of God's family, that's universal peace. It's beyond world peace. It's everlasting peace. So hopefully this message has helped to clarify what it means to be a peacemaker and what it means to be like our other brother Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, who are both integral and part of what peace is. Peacemaking is our calling. It's part of our eternal inheritance. Not even, like, there's actually a revolver, the Colt single action Army peacemaker. It was a standard issue. It was part of what won the West, and it made peace. Air quotes for those of you just listening. It was not our standard issue. Our standard issue is God's Holy Spirit. Our standard issue is going to cover the entire world with God's way. And it will not cause harm and destruction, but create peace. So to review the 5 points I made earlier, to make peace, to be a peacemaker, reconcile. This is with God and with others. 2, rejoice in the Lord. In the part I read, it says, always rejoice. You should probably put that in there. Always rejoice. Always reconcile. We can put this in front of all of these. Show gentleness is the third. Show gentleness. 4, grow faith, which pushes out anxiety. And pray. Pray for peace. So let's work daily to be peacemakers, because only as peacemakers will we be called children of God.